Eternal and life-giving God, we thank you that for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. There are certain moments in the life of the church when we become especially aware that we are part of something much larger than ourselves. Today is one of those moments. We gather between memory and hope, between gratitude and anticipation, between what has been and what is yet to come. We gather to give thanks for a shared ministry, for times of prayer and worship, for moments of joy and sorrow, for lessons learned, friendships formed, and lives touched by the grace of God. Yet as we gather, we are reminded that the church's story is always larger than any one chapter. The church was here before any of us showed up, and by God's grace, it will continue long after all of us have moved on to one place or another. We are each entrusted with a season to serve, a season to lead, a season to learn, a season to love, and then in God's time, a season to pass that trust into the hands of others. That's why the prayer appointed for this occasion speaks so beautifully of God's providence. We have prayed that God would carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation, and that the world might see that things which have grown old are being made new. Those words remind us that endings in the Christian life are never simply endings. There are moments when we are invited to trust again in God, who is always making all things new. And so today is not merely a day of farewell. It is a day of thanksgiving. It is a day of blessing. It is a day of remembering that Christ remains faithful to the church through every season and every transition. There are moments in the life of every congregation that feel both joyful and tender. Today is one of those moments for us. We gather at the intersection of gratitude and transition. We celebrate what has been. We give thanks for what God has done among us. And we look forward to a future for Jonathan and a future for the parish that is not yet fully visible, trusting that the same God who has guided us thus far will continue to lead us onward. The words from Ecclesiastes speak directly into such a moment. For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to plant and a time to pluck up, a time to build, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to keep, and a time to let go. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes reminds us that change is not an interruption in God's plan. I need to say that again for myself and maybe for you. Change is not an interruption of God's plan. Change is woven into the very fabric of life itself. Seasons come and seasons go. Seeds are planted, they grow, they bear fruit, and eventually others harvest what has been sown. Every pastoral relationship has a season. There's a season when priest and people first come together, learning one another's stories, discovering hopes and fears, gifts and challenges. There's a season of planting, of beginning ministries, building relationships, establishing trust, dreaming dreams. There's a season of growth when the work deepens and the roots spread beneath the service. And eventually, there comes a season of transition when one chapter closes so that another may begin. That reality can stir many emotions. Gratitude, sadness, hope, anxiety, excitement, loss. All those emotions are holy. All of them belong. Yet Scripture reminds us that beneath every season stands the enduring faithfulness. That truth is at the heart of Paul's words to the Corinthians. The church in Corinth had become divided. Some claimed allegiance to Paul, others to Apollos. They'd begun to confuse the servants with the one served. Paul gently redirects their attention. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. What humility there is in those words. Paul does not deny his importance. Apollos does not deny his contribution. Both have worked faithfully. Both have worked diligently. Yet neither mistakes himself for the source of life. The growth belongs to God. The harvest belongs to God. The church belongs to God. The same is true for every congregation and every priest. Priests come and priests go. Bishops come and bishops go. Lay leaders come and go. Generations rise and fall. But the church remains because it is not built upon any one person. It's built upon the foundation that has already been laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. That truth allows us to hold this day with both gratitude and freedom. We can give thanks for faithful leadership without imagining that the future depends upon one individual. We can celebrate accomplishments without forgetting who made them possible. We can honor a shared ministry while remembering that Christ remains the head of the church. Paul says, we are God's servants working together. You are God's field. You are God's building. Again, notice the language that Paul selects. Not my field, not your field, God's building. What has happened in this place these past 2 years is part of something larger than any one ministry. God had been at work long before any of us arrived, and God will continue working long after all of us depart. This is not a cause for sadness, it is a cause for confidence. For the church's future does not depend upon human strength alone. It rests in the providence of God. That's precisely what we pray in that beautiful collect appointed for occasions like this. Usually only bishops say this prayer before deacons' ordinations and before clergy ordinations and before installing a rector in the church. But the last option for this prayer is when we end the pastoral relationship. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. The prayer acknowledges what we already know, that the church is always changing. People come and people go. Ministries evolve. Communities transform. Yet beneath all those changes is the God whose power is unchangeable and whose light is eternal. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new. That is a remarkable vision. God is always making things new, not by erasing the past, not by forgetting what came before, but by carrying forward what is good, healing what is broken, and opening doors to possibilities not yet imagined. every ending in the church contains the seeds of a new beginning. Every farewell contains the promise of resurrection. Every transition becomes an opportunity to trust more deeply in God's future. And what is it that this future might look like? The gospel tells us. In Matthew's vision of the kingdom, Jesus speaks not about buildings or budgets or attendance records. He speaks about lives transformed by compassion. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I just realized I didn't read the gospel, did I? I just jumped right into the sermon after that song. Well, the gospel today is Matthew 25 with the sheep and the goats. So process that. God speaks about lives transformed by compassion. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Just a little rattled today. Sorry about that. The measure of a congregation is not found merely in what it accomplishes, but in how faithfully it reflects the love of Christ. So these are the questions that every parish ministry should always answer. Did you feed the hungry? Did you welcome the stranger? Do you care for the sick? Do you visit those who are forgotten? Did you recognize Christ in the face of those whom the world overlooked? Those are the questions that endure. And they remain the mission of the church regardless of who the clergy are, who sits in leadership, or what changes may come from season to season. Because the work has never been about maintaining an institution. The work has always been about participating in God's kingdom. The work has always been about following Jesus. The work has always been about loving God and loving our neighbors. As one pastoral relationship comes to its faithful conclusion, that mission continues. The call to serve for Jonathan and for the parish continues. The call to love for Jonathan and the call to love for the parish continue. The call to welcome into the household of God continues for both Jonathan and the parish. The call to follow Christ continues. Today, therefore, is not simply a farewell. It is an act of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for seeds planted. Thanksgivings for growth witnessed. Thanksgiving for prayers offered. Thanksgiving for baptism celebrated, marriages blessed, funerals prayed, meals shared, ministries begun, lives touched, and faith deepened. Today is also an act of trust. Trust that God is not finished with this congregation, and trust that God is not finished with John. Trust that the Holy Spirit, who has guided us thus far, will continue to lead us and Jonathan into God's future. For there is indeed a season for everything under heaven. And this season, like every season, belongs to God. The God here now sends Jonathan onward. The God who planted will continue to nourish. The God who built will continue to strengthen. The God who has been faithful in the past will be faithful in the future. And so we move together with grateful hearts, confident not in ourselves, but in the one who gives the growth. Amen. Amen.